Hi everyone, my name is Alessandra Torrey. I'm with Authors AI, and this is another edition of First Draft Friday. I am so excited today to be joined by Tammy Dearen, and we're going to be talking all about characters. So how to create characters that readers love, or at minimum, how to create characters that readers don't hate, or if they hate them, they love to hate them. So I hope I pronounced your last name right, but do you want to introduce yourself?
That's right. I'm Tammy Dearen. I'm not a full-time author because I am still a working dentist. And I'm also a grandmother, which is probably the most important thing that I do. But I've been writing books since about 2013. Before that, it was like poetry and songs and that sort of thing.
And what genre do you typically write in?
Mostly I write in the romance genre. I write sweet romance, Christian romance, and then I also write some young adult fantasy, which has a little bit of romance in it as well. So usually I don't write anything that doesn't have some romance in it.
And are you mostly series or standalones?
Mostly series, yes.
Okay. Series. So characters especially are important. And right. I'm also a romance author. I write suspense also. But I think we'll have a lot to talk about in terms of, in terms of characters. And romance is a little bit of different genre because you really do need your main two characters to be likable. You know, when you write suspense or horror, it's okay for them to hate the character, or it can be an anti-hero. But with romance, you really want those readers rooting for these two characters, and you have to sell them on those characters. So it's, I think it's a great, great conversation for us to have. So right. If you're watching, don't be shy. Feel free to pop questions into the comment section. We'll try to get as many answered as we can. But what are your main tips when you're thinking about sitting down with a character or sitting down to write a book? Are you thinking about characters first or plot first? Where do you normally begin?
So for me, my stories are all character driven. Mm-hmm. And so the plot happens to let the characters act out their character. And I like my plots and my characters to be a little more complex. I don't really like the simple, just thing. They just where they meet and then, you know, gradually fall in love and then they get married. You know, that's real life, but, you know, that's just boring to me. So I always want to have complications, and I like for my characters to have some faults. But you know, they can't have too many faults, or they can't have the wrong faults. They can have certain faults, but not other faults. And one of the things that I found, and this is partly in writing, but also just in the study of humans and research and stuff, I've learned that men can get away with just about anything. Like, they can get away with murder. I mean, that's what they have. They have bully romances.
I know. I don't get those. Yeah.
And alpha
but romances. Very popular.
They are so, you know, mean. They have the grumpy boss, you know. And we all know that if that was reversed and the woman did those exact same things, that she would get called the B word, right?
Yeah.
Like, this, it's not fair, but that's just the truth of it. Women get judged much harder. So like men, the things you have to be careful about with them, women don't, they like for guys to be sweet. Usually they really like a sweet hidden side that you know, that he doesn't reveal to everyone. They don't care if he's grumpy, but he can't be weak. Mm-hmm. So if he looks like he's being pushed around or that's necessary for the plot, then it needs to be something that the reader finds out he's doing it for a strong reason. Like he's putting up with it.
Can you break that down a little bit? When you say weak, I just want to make sure everybody understands. You're saying like wishy-washy or emotionally weak, or what, can you give an example of like a weak? Yeah.
So it could be any of those things. So like wishy-washy, you know, if they don't stand firm on their beliefs, mm-hmm. you know, that's not attractive to a woman. You know, she wants to fall in love with this guy. So she doesn't want it. She wants him to stand for things. She wants him to stand up to people. She doesn't want him to be pushed around. If he does get pushed around, say by like a father or something like that, there has to be a reason that he's doing it that's noble, you know, like
pretty much that noble. Yeah.
Right. Characters can do anything if they're protecting someone. So, you know, if you've got he's protecting his grandmother who, you know, the father is going to do something terrible to her if he, you know, isn't careful, or if there's a sick child, for both men and women, you know, that always works. I always like to say that the men, they need to be somehow, no matter what they're like, in the end, even if you have this grumpy guy, he finds out that he's, you know, in love with this woman, and then he needs somehow to prove his mettle. Mm-hmm. So I like to think of, this is really old, you may not have seen it, but if you've ever seen Air Force One with Harrison Ford.
Yeah, I've seen it.
So, you know, he, in that movie, his wife is on this plane that gets hijacked, and Harrison Ford he risks life and limb to get on there, and he's going to rescue her. He battles everyone. They tell him he can't do this. He goes against convention. You know, it doesn't matter. His wife, it's the most important thing. He is going to rescue her. And at the end of that movie, if he had asked me to marry him, I would have probably divorced my husband. I mean, that's like, this man, he will do anything. He would die for me. I love him, you know, and so you want to get that across in the romances in particular. You want to get across that this guy will do anything for her. You know, it doesn't have to be so extreme that he's risking his life, but you need to have that feeling that he would do anything for her. So then you get to where your character, say, has to. A lot of times in your plot, you need him to doubt her, maybe believe some terrible lie about her. And, you know, you see this plot, you know, that he sees something, he believes that she doesn't really love him, or that she's done something, she's been hiding something, you know, and all of a sudden he, you know, is like rejecting her, this temporary thing before the resolution. And usually the guys can get away with that pretty well. Just a little bit of, all you need is a little bit of background that says they've been betrayed before, and you go, oh, of course, he just can't handle that, you know. Now, if it's a woman, that's a different story, because we expect her somehow, for some reason, this is just how we are. We expect the women to have grown. And so even if they've been rejected in the past, they, like, if they temporarily believe that the guy did something wrong, you know, and they reject him, it can't last as long. They need to have like immediate remorse. They need to doubt it. They need to go, maybe I was wrong. How could I think that? Because look at how he's been, you know. So the woman isn't allowed as much, in my opinion, she's not allowed to make as many of those kind of mistakes. It helps, I think, to have background, or you have something in their past. But another thing that helps, if you've got to have your character do something that's that the reader is going to go, no, how could you do that? It helps if they get advice from someone who is trusted that is confirming that this is what they need to think. So they're getting contrary. So it's not just coming from inside their head where you would just be furious at them, but they're getting, you know, this conflicting advice that's telling them this, and this is from somebody who loves them, someone they've always trusted. And so they have a reason to doubt the guy, even though, you know, the reader goes, no, you can't doubt him. He loves you. How can you do this? So I think it helps a lot to have somebody from another source that's mm-hmm. telling the character to do something that they shouldn't do.
So when we're talking, so if we divide it into like the hero and the heroine, right? So with the hero, like they shouldn't be weak. Are there any other kind of unforgivable flaws, you know, or cheating? Yeah, that's an easy one.
I mean, no, they can't cheat. Uh-huh. The woman can think that the guy has cheated, but he can't really cheat. Mm-hmm. That's just my opinion. I'm sure that the people write some with cheating in there, but if I won't read it, if I know it's got it in there, and if I read it, I will hate it. So
that's one of those hard limits for a lot of readers I experience, you know, they no cheating whatsoever. Doesn't matter if it's justified, you know, I don't know what justified cheating would be, but yeah, that's a hard limit for many. And what about like an abusive, like if he is abusive, that would also be,
That's a hard limit for me for sure. Mm-hmm. Now there seem to be some women who like to read some of that stuff really borders on abuse in my mind.
Mm-hmm. Well, especially dark romances. Yeah.
Yeah.
And that can vary by genre. What about like drug and alcohol use?
So in sweet romance, you know,
there's none of that. Yeah.
Yeah. Uh-huh. In, you know, outside sweet romance, I think there's some allowable, but even at that, like, if we're talking about somebody getting drunk, mm-hmm. that's always got to be viewed as wrong. Mm-hmm. You know, that can't be, you know, especially with drunk and then they say things they shouldn't say or do things they shouldn't
lose
do.
Their temper.
They have to regret. And in my mind, that also needs to be a character arc that they progress out of. You don't want to have the girl ends up at the end with some guy who is going to at any moment get drunk and turn on her and become some kind of a monster. So,
yeah.
Like I say, the dark romance, I don't read that. So I don't really understand, some of that. Maybe they can get away with that in dark romance. But of course you can use the opposite of these things for your villains. Villains can do all of these things.
No. Anything and everything. Yeah. You hear a lot about the tortured hero, you know, and I think a lot of that is they're tortured by normally something traumatic that happened in their past, mm-hmm. That is causing that. And whether that's their failure to commit or failure to trust, or like they have a vice of some sort, whether it's gambling or something mm-hmm. else. Now, you do said, you know, they need to have some flaws. So what are some common easy flaws that you can kind of slip in there that the reader doesn't really have to struggle to accept?
So, I mean, this would be across hero or heroine. Mm-hmm. I think that being snarky can be both pro and, you know,
irritable, snarky.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And, you know, with the men, they can get away with a little more snarkiness than the women. The women have to watch it. Women, it's usually okay if it's in response to snarkiness. Mm-hmm. Definitely not okay when somebody is being nice to be snarky to them. You know, we're expected to be better than that. So women can be snarky. And if you have a character that's kind of like her thing is that she's like a little bit mouthy, then it helps if you show something else about her that is just absolutely adorable, that you just can't help but love her, even though she can't control her mouth. And it can help a little bit if she goes, you know, God, I can't believe, why do I say this stuff? I can't keep my mouth shut. You know, like that regret and going, I know I shouldn't have said that. I shouldn't have said that, you know, and then it doesn't matter so much that she said it. And then she kind of apologizes or makes up for it, you know. But if she also, in addition to that, is going to be the person that, like, if you have a sniffle, she's going to make you chicken soup and bring it to you. And, you know, she's going to be the one who, if her friend has a problem, she's going to, you know, stay up all night and talk to him on the phone, or, you know, she needs to have some strong things to counter if she has some faults that might be irritable. The thing is, I think this is personal opinion, but I think what we do is we recognize those faults that we have mm-hmm. in this heroine. Mm-hmm. So we don't want to look at this character who has the same faults we do and have them be an unlikable person. You want to, oh, those faults don't matter.
You don't want to think of yourself as unlikable.
Absolutely. So, sorry about that.
That's okay.
I'm going to get back to you. I lost you.
I'm still here. You probably just can't see me.
Hang on just a second.
And while...
call now. I'm online and it's connected. Okay.
Sorry.
All right. I'm sorry. That's my daughter calling from Spain.
Oh, no.
All right. I got to find you. There you are. Okay. Sorry about that. Sorry about that, everybody. Okay. My daughter lives in
That's
Spain.
The beauty of a live show. So.
And she knew I was here, but she didn't know that it was going to connect on my computer. So anyway, where were we?
We were saying, like, you don't want to think of yourself as unlikable, you know, right. So if you right. recognize some of those faults. Yeah. Yeah.
So it's great if you have these recognizable faults because people can really relate but what you want to do is make this character who has these little flaws like this. Maybe they lose their temper. Maybe they're absent-minded. Mm-hmm. Maybe they're a little bit clumsy. Maybe they're awkward around public places. Maybe they don't speak well. Maybe they stutter if they have to give a speech. They can have all these, you know, little flaws, but then you need to make them really cute and very likable and mm-hmm. add in these other things that totally counter that because people will go, oh, that's me. I'm like, yeah, I have a little flaw, but look how lovable I am. You know, so that's what you want to do. You want to make sure that you counter any little flaws, especially common ones that everybody has, with these really nice, likable things. So the person can go, that is me. That's totally me. I'm just like that, but I'm just so adorable. And look, the hero is wonderful and he fell in love with me. Because, you know, that's what we all do. We all fall in love with the hero in the book and we put ourselves in the place of that heroine.
Mark, we had a question from a viewer. Margaret said, do you show the reason, the background to why a character might be snarky?
So maybe I might, with the snarkiness, I might show a background to that. I usually do
some
it.
Some people are just kind of, you know,
personalities, you know?
Yeah.
But I might do it more with other flaws, you know, like if you have somebody who can't commit or somebody who has, is afraid to trust. That's that's one of those flaws that's real common is the fear of trusting usually because they've been hurt in the past. And so I'll do that for sure. And most of my characters have some kind of background issues, either with an old boyfriend or with their parents or something that makes them feel insecure in a certain area. I think most of us, if we're honest, have insecurities. And so we like to see somebody who has insecurities that overcomes that and succeeds. Because then, you know, that we're really going to root for that person because that could be us. So
can you have a character that's too like a hero that's too perfect, syrupy sweet or something, and you lose the reader because they're just boringly amazing?
Yeah. I mean, I can. So it really just depends because, you know, a lot of people, they write kind of perfect.
Charming.
Yeah. And, you know, I'm just not as interested in those. They're not as compelling for me, but it's a matter of taste.
Yeah.
So, yes. And if you just ask me my opinion, I would say, yes, they can be too perfect. They can be just boring. You know, and or unbelievable, like they can't really be that perfect.
Yeah.
A lot of times the best part about a hero is if he has these flaws and the heroine sees the real guy that's hidden behind these flaws and brings out the best in him. In fact, you know, it's usually the best if the heroine brings out the best in the hero and the hero brings out the best in the heroine, then you've got a win-win situation. So yeah, I like flaws and mistakes and kind of more complicated plots. One of the reasons why I kind of got into this, thinking about this a lot, was because I did this series. My billionaire series has my four main heroes were guys who met at a computer camp for kids with disabilities.
That's so really cool.
Since all of my heroes had disabilities, then I had to really think, you know, how do I get past that so that the reader is going to fall in love with somebody that they normally wouldn't think, oh, you know, you see this guy, he's perfect, I'm going to fall in love with him.
Right.
I already had this physical flaw that I had to totally get the readers to look past. And, you know, so that was kind of a challenge, but it made me think a little bit more about what it is that made us really love these heroes. And, you know, sure enough, it's not, you know, we all say it's not just their looks. So, you know, it's not that they're all perfect. But, you know, they can have a lot of flaw and still be really, really appealing.
This is a great question from Kit, who's joining us from YouTube. Mm-hmm. She said, especially when dealing with romance books, where there are so many books in a series, how do you avoid repeating yourself when creating characters?
Yeah. So, I mean, that's a great question. A lot of times I have a tendency to kind of think of a person and sort of model my character after a real person. I know you're not supposed to do that, yeah. Right? No, they don't know that I'm modeling.
I do it all the time. Yeah, or I'll pick and shoot. Like I'll meet, you know, a friend, mm-hmm. you know, a friend's dating a guy, and I'll be like, oh, like this is a really unique part of that individual. And it might be something totally dumb. Like he collects, I mean, I don't know, bumper stickers or something like that. It might be something just odd like that. Or he's super into comics, you know? And that's not necessarily the sexiest thing in the world, you know, a guy who's really into comics, but it's something unique about him that, right. you know, I could potentially use in a future.
Right. Character. Yeah. I mean, I think that's awesome. And so you're not just one person, but maybe characteristics from certain people that you put into the, a lot of times, I mean, I'm a pantser. And so, I would think that question works really well for a plotter, for, you know, somebody who plans. They can sit down and they can look at, I know people who use the Myers-Briggs, 16 personality, and they kind of, and I sort of do that. I know how my character is going to respond, and it's going to be different based on what their personality is. But I just don't plan it out in advance. I kind of get to know my characters as the book progresses. But I do think that I, for myself, tend to avoid the moodiest characters. Just because I have a little bit harder time figuring out how to make them so as likable as if I have, you know, characters who aren't quite so moody. I'm not fond of characters who are real negative, you know, and if they are feeling sorry for themselves all the time, that's not appealing to, you know, it's not fun to be around a person like that. And so, you know, even if somebody has had a real hard time in life, you know, in my books, my character is either going to hide that and it's going to come out in some of the things that they do, or they're going to be this kind of person who is like grown and become strong because of it, or grows and becomes strong because of it.
So, yeah. My biggest pet peeve when I'm reading is weak heroines and, heroines that constantly doubt, like, why is he attracted to me? Why is he with me? You know, like low self-esteem is the hardest for me. You know, I just want to like shake him and be like, you know, like, cause we as readers, normally that author gives them great qualities, you know, so we see their good things. And it's always, I'm always like, why, you know, you should be deciding whether you want to be with him, you know, don't be, you know, worried about him with you. But with my characters, I like a lot of times to play opposites. So if I have a female character in mind, then I try to make the male character very different from her, whether it's like she's a neat freak and he's, you know, messy. Though normally it's the opposite for me because I'm messy. So my female characters are normally messy. But or if she's from a small town, you know, he's from a big city or so right. That they have very, I always find that they, it's easier for me to write their scenes and to give them some natural conflicts just mm-hmm. in the differences in their lifestyles.
Right, right. I mean, I love opposites attract. I mean, my husband mm-hmm. and I could not be more different mm-hmm. after 39 years together. That's just marriage. We were 4 years of dating before that. But we are wow. opposite of each other. And I am a very intense kind of person and a little bit more uptight. And we always say, if you were going to get any more relaxed, he'd have to be dead.
Yeah. Oh, I love that.
So yeah, I hardly ever have my characters similar just for that reason. It doesn't even seem natural to me. It seems natural for them to be really opposite each other. So, you know, it's funny though, on the other hand, my, my daughter and son-in-law, the ones that are in Spain, the ones who interrupted me, they are like so alike. It's uh-huh. crazy. I mean, it's one of those things that people are like, they're like both these crazy book nerds and, you know, real intellectual and like to do things like go to museums together, you know, and, but to be honest, it probably wouldn't make that good of a book. It wouldn't.
Yeah. They just get along all the time, like to do everything together, go with the flow. Yeah. There's
like, how boring is that?
Another chapter where everything's going perfectly. Yeah.
So. I did actually steal though a real life thing from them for one of my books because, they had this sweet little dating relationship. Like they'd just gone out a couple of times and he went to her door and like walked her to the door and she thought maybe he was going to kiss her for the first time. And like, we were all kind of teasing her about it because ahead of time, you know, we're like, okay, just like kind of put your arms around him and just kind of tilt your head back, you know, or we're like trying to tell her things to do to get him to go ahead and kiss her. But sure enough, like he got to the door and he like hugged her. And then she like went in and then she was like, dang it, you know, he still didn't kiss me. And she is like, she went and she was like making some tea or something in the kitchen. And the doorbell rang and she goes to the door and he's standing there and he said, let me try that again. And then he kissed her goodnight. And it was like the sweetest thing. Oh my goodness. So I did steal that scene. I mean, even though they're boring because they're incredibly alike, that was just too mm-hmm. cute. So
that is. I love that. We are pretty much out of time, but there are two questions. So, and anyone listening, shout out, this is your final chance, but two questions just came through. One from Facebook says, don't flaws in characters contribute to the dramatic tension? Do you agree with that statement?
Absolutely. Yeah. I that's why I just think they're boring if they don't have flaws. You just need to make sure that the flaw isn't something that's going to make the reader hate the character. Either they got to overcome that flaw somewhat, or they've got to have overriding other good qualities that make up for that flaw, especially the heroines.
And one of my books, The Ghostwriter, my main character, it's not a romance, but she's very unlikable. And you don't understand why she's so grouchy and just, you know, hateful until like 70% in. And I had to convince the readers like to keep reading, you know, even though, but so I had to give them constant hints that there is something, you know, they know that something has happened to her husband and child. And so the reader,
that's perfect. I love
the readers went along with it until they finally, and in the end, they love her, but gosh, you know, I really
had hinted all the way through there. They probably would have given up on her.
Oh yeah. Second chapter. They would have been like, this girl's horrible. Yeah.
So. I think that's a great way to do it. And the tension that you build with that is just awesome because they want to like her. They want to know what it is. What's the reason behind, and then you tease them with it. 70% of the book. That's awesome.
And Elaine says, what's the oldest romantic character you've created?
Oldest. Well, so main romantic characters, were in there would be a 50-year-old, that was in her best match. But in that book, I did have his grandmother, having a relationship. Yeah. And we're talking like 90 there.
Wow. So, what was the book that you?
Her Best Match. Yeah. So that one was about, she was 45 and he was 50. And she's a widow, that goes.
And I know you've said the name of the book twice, but is it Arrest Match? Is that what you said?
Her Best Match.
Her Best Match. Okay, yeah. Perfect. All right. Thank
you. That's my first book that I ever wrote. And back then I had no idea what I was doing. You know, just kind of wrote my way through it. It's like three times as long as a romance novel needs to be. But it's still one of the most popular things I've ever written. And for her, I didn't know I was going to be a writer at the time. I was just writing for my friends. And I wrote her. She is pretty much me, except that she is outgoing and I'm a huge introvert. She's outgoing and otherwise her personality is pretty much mine. So, you know, I didn't know anything about how to write a character or how to invent one. And so that was the only thing I knew to do was just write, you know, myself. And so what a challenge it is to be an author.
I did my first book. Easiest thing on your first book is just take yourself, put it in a situation because you know how you would react and what you think, what you sound like.
Exactly. Yeah.
Yeah. She said, well done on that 90-year-old. So. Yeah. But we are officially out of time. So thank you so much, Tammy, for joining us today. And if someone's interested in reading your books, is there one that you suggest that they start with?
I think Her Best Match is a great place to start. It's not my best work, but it's free. Yeah, so it's a great place to start. And then I think my favorite series is my billionaire series. That's the ones with the guys that have disabilities. And my first character is blind. And I love him. And that's The Billionaire's Secret Marriage. So it's pretty fun.
Perfect. So I put her website up. It's tammydearon.com. So you can check her out there. And if you're interested in checking out Authors AI, we have a fantastic artificial intelligence that can read your book and provide feedback on it within a matter of minutes. So I would love for you to meet Marlo. That's her name. Visit authors.ai to run your manuscript for free and test her out. So thank you guys. Thank you for joining us on First Draft Friday. We will see you again in 2 weeks. Bye.